Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast on the 14th of February, 2025. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm Andy Eubank along with CJ Miller on the news today, including Lieutenant Governor Beckwith and his reaction to recent amendments to Indiana's Senate property tax bill, and what farmers want to know about the large equipment showcased at the National Farm Machinery Show in Louisville, Kentucky. The HAT Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for dry, chilly conditions across the state today before weekend precipitation. And the markets yesterday higher. Market analysis with Carl Setzer coming up on the HAT Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Keystone Cooperative's equipment auction continues this February on Purple Wave. Bid on a 2015 John Deere R4038 applicator, fertilizer delivery trucks, and more farm-ready machinery. With no reserve online auctions, top quality equipment from Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan is just a click away. Visit purplewave.com today, your trusted farm auction solution. Purple Wave, where smart farmers find the perfect fit.
Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith responds to the changes made to a property tax relief bill and what's impacting sales of new farm equipment. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, property tax reform has been among the top priorities of Governor Mike Braun and many of your state lawmakers. However, Senate Bill 1, which would cut property taxes for Indiana's home and landowners, has been amended by state senators in the Tax and Fiscal Policy Committee. Republicans on that committee agreed to gut large portions of Braun's proposal, including an annual 3% cap on the growth of property tax bills. Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith told Hoosier Ag Today that those amendments to Senate Bill 1 do not provide a sufficient amount of property tax relief for Hoosiers.
What Governor Braun and myself are doing, we got sent here with a mandate to fight for tax relief, specifically property tax relief was the thing we heard more than anything else on the campaign trail for the last year and a half. And that to me is priority one. So we've got to go in and say, listen, our farmers can't continue to have this 26.4% increase of year-to-year property taxes like Farm Bureau just did on their study and showed that. I mean, they can't sustain it. Small farms can't sustain that for very long. So we've got to move now, and now's the time with President Trump doing what he's doing, with, you know, Mike Braun's doing what he's doing, and I think the legislators need to get on board with that as well.
Beckwith says that many local leaders who are complaining about Braun's property tax relief plan are likely the ones who have not been good stewards of taxpayer funds.
I also think there's a mindset problem. The small communities, the first thing you'll hear them say, especially these mayors and, you know, council members, they'll come down here, they'll say, how are we going to replace the revenue if you cut property taxes? And I always say that's the wrong question to be asking. You need to first start by saying, what can we do as a municipality to make sure that we are cutting all the fat away? And then let's talk about what you need at that point. They just want to kind of keep living high on the hog, and everyone's saying, oh no, we built more bureaucracy, now we got to keep paying for it, or we got to cut it. And Governor Braun and myself, we are not okay with taxing more, so it has to be cuts.
You can hear Lieutenant Governor Beckwith's full conversation with Hoosier Ag Today's Eric Pfeiffer as part of the latest episode of the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast. You can check it out at HoosierAgToday.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Well, the National Farm Machinery Show is going on this week in Louisville, and as you walk around the trade show floor, you'll find all sorts of brand new, large, beautiful farm equipment. At the show, I spoke with Leo Bowes. He's the harvesting marketing lead with Case IH, as he shared with me some of the ways that Case IH has had to reevaluate their operations over the past several years.
You know, from the pandemic area, the supply chain, that probably as a manufacturer allowed us to maybe look at sourcing in general, as well as where parts were coming from. So that allowed us to maybe look at efficiencies, not only here in the United States, but maybe abroad as well.
In spite of the recent downturn of the ag economy, Bo says the producers are still inquiring about their new equipment.
What producers are asking, they want to see the bottom line benefits. What is it going to do to their efficiency on the farm? And is that going to allow them to cover more acres in less time? So when you look at all of those that stack up, I think customers still would make a purchasing decision based on maybe what the need would be and ultimately their bottom line for their farm.
Check out more of my conversation with Leo Bowes from Case IH at the National Farm Machinery Show in Louisville at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Hear from keynote speaker Dave Campbell of Lily Lake Organic Farm and connect with experts on insect ecology, organic markets, and biological amendments. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A good dry forecast for your Friday in here. It's chilly with high pressure sitting right on top of us, but we should see some decent sunshine through the day today. Not too shabby for mid-February, all things considered. Happy Valentine's Day, by the way. We've got a clipper system trying to move out of the upper Midwest and into the Great Lakes region overnight tonight, so that's going to drag clouds into northern parts of Indiana, maybe even a little bit of precipitation. And we've also got a significant rainmaker coming together in the mid-Mississippi River Valley. That's going to lift across the state as we move through the day tomorrow. I'm projecting some moderate to heavy rains in central and southern parts of the state up north, lighter rains and maybe a little bit of wet snow sneaking in there as well. Do I have concerns about some icing? Sure, after what we've seen the past week or so here, I guess we have to keep those top of mind, but this system looks different. A fairly significant lifting of a warm air into the state. I think it roots out pretty much all the cold air for Saturday, but we are going to be seeing cold air resurface and come back down in behind this system as it's dragging through to finish on Sunday. So moderate to heavy rains again in the central and eastern parts of the state, and then we can see rain end as snow for Sunday. All in, all done, probably looking at a coating to 2 inches of snow with about 80% coverage across the Hoosier state. Much colder air in then for the start of next week. President's Day is chilly with Arctic high pressure right on top of us, well below normal temperatures. We've got a system coming out of the central plains at midweek. That one right now seems to want to favor a southern track, but I'm not going to rule out activity here. At this point, if we see action, it will be snow. And I think it's going to be Wednesday afternoon into and through Thursday. Timing is up in the air. We'll have to watch and see how this system comes together. Behind it, once again, we're very cold to finish the week for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I'm also seeing some significant warming happening then for the following week. The week of the 24th, we're going to be above normal multiple days. And I think this warm pattern may try and continue right on into early March. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Gains across corn, soybean, and wheat markets. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. All the numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. And on Thursday, I grabbed that at the end of the session from Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Back and forth markets, right near even, though, much of the session, but for the most part, higher in corn futures, beans, and wheat also on the plus side. Let's start with corn, Carl, where demand seems good. We saw that in the export sales report and in a mostly higher day, although quiet.
Yeah, export sales really got corn going here this morning, starting out big week of sales. 1.65 million metric tons on the old crop, 350,000 metric tons new crop, even with some cancellations. We had some cancellations surface this week in corn and soybeans. Not that uncommon. It's the second week of cancellations in soybeans. Typical as we get the South American harvest season going, a lot of importers double book and then see which source is the cheapest when they get to the South American harvest versus the U.S., same as they do when the U.S. harvest starts. Corn also continuing to take support from the fact funds just are not selling this market. When we rally, they're not standing in there and selling. They continue to buy. Open interest starting to work higher in corn again as well. A lot of this stemming from Tuesday's balance sheet updates that verified global corn stocks remain the tightest that we've seen in the past 10 years, and demand is not slowing. That has really given the market some support, especially with concerns on South American plantings. Soybeans and wheat also firmer today. Soybeans really kind of struggled throughout the session, but wheat put in really solid gains.
It was a struggle really all week long in soybean futures, which at one point seemed to be teetering on hitting support and breaking through, but so far that hasn't happened.
No, we started out the week with the positioning for WASDE, and WASDE really didn't give us any surprises, so we didn't extend our gains to the upside. Soybeans taken some pressure from the building South American harvest activity. Even though it slowed, we know that it was going to happen, and we're starting to get some big yield reports out of South America. Brazil, big yields out of Paraná and Mato Grosso. The thing is these are some of the better growing condition areas of Brazil. As we transition into the other areas, those yields will drop off. CONAB verified that today. They trimmed their corn and soybean production estimates for South America. Interestingly enough, both of them are below the USDA.
The wheat market did post around nickel gains on Thursday, Carl, and the world stage. How's that impacting or playing a role, if at all, in the wheat market here in the U.S. right now?
Quite a bit. We're starting to see some crop loss come out of Russia. Russia's sitting here and saying that their yields are going to be down this year in production. Not really looking at big exports out of Russia. The USDA was a little hesitant to change that, but we'll see that adjusted as we move forward here. Also starting to see some cold weather in the United States on the plains here and some concerns over what that could be doing to the winter crops. Wheat trading on a whole has perked up here in the last few sessions. A lot of tenders, and we had a good week of export sales on wheat. That wheat-corn spread got a little bit too narrow. That came into about 60 to 70 cents. Typically, it's about $1.20 to $1.30. It's still trading around that 90 cents, but I do think we're going to see that spread widen back out once we get out of the Goldman roll. That's given wheat a little bit of support versus corn and soybeans as well.
Carl Setzer, market commentary. Carl with Consus Ag Consulting. The number there, 989-506-1587. On the Hat Thursday, farm market review, 3.25 higher. March corn, it ends the day at 493.5. May contract goes to 506, up 2 cents. A penny and 3/4 higher on July, 509. 2.25 up. March beans, 1030. May, 1047, up a penny. And a quarter, an even penny higher on July, 1063. And March wheat, 577.75, up 3.5 cents. Protein sector mixed. Cattle futures up. April, 196.52, 80 cents higher. And April lean hogs down, $1.22.93.10. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Timely, relevant, credible.